Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Monday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I've got a very special program for you. Actually, for 3 weeks here, what we're going to do is go to a Gospel Truth seminar that I've held in Phoenix, Arizona. This was back at the beginning of the year. And we're going to actually show an edited version of our Gospel Truth seminar. This is the first time I've ever done this. And, you know, I've had comments before. People have actually written in to ask if I'm paralyzed, if that's the reason I always sit in a chair. My response to that is that you need life. Boy, you've just been spending too much time at home watching TV and thinking. I mean, yes, I move. And so anyway, this will be good in the sense that it'll show people that I can get up and walk around. But the main thing is, you know, there's a lot of people that the way I minister here over television, talking to people one-on-one, there's a lot of people that really love that. And, you know, it's just the way that God has led me to do it. But when I'm in a large group of people, I minister a little bit differently. It's, I don't know, there's just a difference in it. And I think it'll be a good change of pace for our normal program that we've been holding. So for 3 weeks, we're going to take 5 services that I held in Phoenix, Arizona at a Gospel Truth seminar, and we're going to be playing those here over our program. And of course, we've got product and things that will go with it that are directly from that Gospel Truth seminar. I believe it'll also give some of you a taste about what a Gospel Truth seminar is, and hopefully it'll encourage you to come. Because one of the things that happens at our seminars is that not only is there a ministry of the Word that I give, but then we give an invitation. We see a lot of people born again, a lot of people baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then we have up to 20, 30, or 40 people that are down front helping me pray and minister to people. And I will operate in the gifts of the Spirit and call out healings and call out things that God is showing me. And many people just sitting out in the audience will be instantly healed. But also a lot of people come forward and we see blind eyes open. People come out of wheelchairs. We've seen people healed of all kinds of diseases and just some wonderful things. And so our Gospel Truth seminars are different than just our television ministry. And I think that this will give you a taste of it. Now, what I'm going to be teaching on in this seminar that you will be watching is about how to stay positive in a negative world. And I tell you, I really believe that this is something that is timely, because all of us have our own individual problems, and of course, that doesn't take a lot of explanation. Every one of us faces crisis of relationships and health and finances and things like that. But even if you are walking in the blessing of the Lord, and if you are healthy yourself and prosperous yourself, and if God is blessing you, you know, we live in a negative world. I even say during this series that if you don't see that we live in a negative world, you just aren't paying attention. I guarantee you there are things going on politically, socially. There's all kinds of things happening. And one of the things that I've had to deal with is I am blessed. Our ministry is blessed. God is just touching me tremendously, and good things are happening in my life. But as I look around in the world, it just seems like things are going from bad to worse. And if you aren't careful, what will happen is you will let the negativism and all of the negative things that are being reported today affect you. And one of the scriptures that I'm going to major on in this series is Jesus said that because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And Jesus linked our love for Him to the iniquity that is abounding around us. And so this is the natural thing to happen. It's natural to let the unbelief and the doubt and the negativism of this world come against us. It takes effort to overcome that. And it doesn't happen just accidentally. It has to be done on purpose. So that's what this whole series is about how to stay positive in a negative world. And I believe it's going to bless you. It really ministered to the people that were at these meetings in Phoenix. And so that's the reason we decided to air it and put it on our television program. And so I think it's going to be a blessing to you. And remember, at the end of our program, we're going to come on and share with you about how you can get this exact teaching that you will have been listening to. So watch this and be blessed as I talk about how to stay positive in a negative world. I'm going to begin a series and I'm going to start talking about, this is the title that I've given this, is How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. And this is something the Lord's really been speaking to me, and I think that this is going to be a blessing to you. There's a lot of different names that you could put on this. You could talk about how to stay in faith in the midst of a situation where it's unbelief. There's just a lot of different applications. This will be similar to a teaching that I have that I've entitled The Four Keys to Staying Full of God. I don't know if any of you have ever heard that or not. But that is a teaching that has really been significant in my life. And every time I teach that, that really touches a lot of people. The difference between that is that that's talking about when God has done something special in your life. How do you keep that current? How do you keep it fresh and alive on the inside? What I want to talk about this week is not necessarily something that's personal, but about when, you know, my life is going perfect. Well, that's probably not true to say perfect, but it's going very good. We are really blessed. God is blessing us personally. God is blessing us in the ministry. It is not anything personal, but you know, when you look out here at the world, it just seems like things are getting worse instead of better. And you know what? That has a tendency to discourage you. And what I want to talk about is about not necessarily how to keep something personal in your life, something that God has done to you alive and fresh, but how do you keep yourself positive when it seems like everything around you is failing and things are going bad? And I'm not going to spend a lot of time trying to make this point, but if you haven't noticed that we are living in a negative world, you just hadn't been paying attention. I'm not going to try and remake that point a lot, but there are a lot of negative things happening. There are things that are not going well at all. And I meet people all of the time and minister to people that are discouraged, not because of something personally that's going on in their life, but just, you know, as you see things going on in the world around us, it can affect you. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not, but there are a number of scriptures that talk about how that our heart is affected by the environment that we live in. And you can see this in a lot of things. When Jesus raised people from the dead, he always sought seclusion. He kicked out all of the unbelievers because the unbelief of other people could even affect Jesus, who was operating in faith 100%. In the sixth chapter of the book of Mark, it talked about he was at his hometown and he could do, not wouldn't do, but could do no mighty work because of their unbelief. He was limited in what he could do, and certainly not limited because of anything personally, but the unbelief of other people around you affect you. And I think too seldom do people recognize the effect that other people and environment have on you. And so there is a ungodly environment today. I mean, we are in many ways a post-Christian nation. I don't take any pleasure in saying that. It grieves me to say it. But you know what? I believe that if, like, the founding fathers of this nation came and saw where we are today and the things that are being done in this nation, that I guarantee you they would be absolutely shocked. They would be absolutely overwhelmed to see where we are. You know, we minister around the world, and just recently, some of you are aware of this, but just recently I taught a series on what I call Christian Philosophy 2. And it dealt with social issues. What is a Christian perspective, and how are you supposed to feel about things? And we played this on our programs over in the UK. And in the UK, their laws are so strict that it's against the law in the UK to say that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. You can't say that. It's hate speech. And when I was broadcasting on television in the UK, they wouldn't let you say that. You could say that the Bible says Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, but you couldn't state it as a fact. You couldn't say that Christianity was the correct way and that the Muslims are wrong. It's against the law. I said things on my program before about things like, you know, spanking your children. I wasn't actually teaching on child training. I just made
a comparison about spanking your children, and they bleep that out as if it was profanity. And just recently, I made a statement about homosexuality and said that it is wrong, and that's considered hate speech. And I also had a statement that abortion is murder, and it's against the law in the UK to say any of these things. And so we got in trouble with some of the government regulation, and because of that, we had to do some special things. And you see these kind of things happening, and you know what? It's discouraging. It's discouraging, not personally, but it's discouraging when you see evil prevail and you see people that are taking the values that we have held dear and things, and it's discouraging. How do you stay positive in a negative situation? Let me just start by using these verses out of Joshua chapter 1. And this is one of the things. I was recently studying Joshua, and the Lord reminded me that back when we first began our ministry, the Lord spoke to me about that we were going to have a large impact and touched a lot of people. But you know, we went for decades and people stayed away from my meetings by the thousands. And I pastored churches and just very, very small groups. And so I had this vision on the inside, and yet on the outside, I couldn't see any of it coming to pass. And it was discouraging. And I was fighting discouragement. And I was actually, my son Joshua back there, I was watching him over Christmas and thinking about when he was just a tiny baby and I was rocking him and fighting this discouragement over all of the things that were going on. And I mean, I was really just trying to stand strong. I was reading this and the Lord gave me a song, the only song I've ever written. And I just started singing, and this song came out about be strong and of a good courage. And I mean, it was a song from the Lord. It was for me, and it encouraged me and built me up. And when I was reading this recently, it came right here from the book of Joshua. And this is what the Lord spoke to me, and this is what I'm trying to describe this week, is how do you stay strong? This would be the scriptural terminology. How do you stay strong and courageous in the midst of fear and dismay or discouragement? And how do you do that? Here is the Lord speaking to Joshua, and Joshua was taking over from Moses, and that's a hard act to follow. And you know what? There was going to be a lot of people that just instantly compared him to Moses, this guy who did all these miraculous things. How do you fill in the footsteps of somebody who has been like Moses? This was an impossible task. And the Lord spoke to him and he says, Moses is dead. Now you go. And he spoke to him and he says, every place that the sole of your foot touches, I'm going to give to you, just like I told Moses. He says, I will be with you. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life, just like I spoke to Moses. And let me just read a portion of some of these scriptures. In Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, he says, be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous. You know, by him emphasizing this, he's saying that if you aren't strong, if you aren't courageous, if you do get discouraged, you are going to stop this from coming to pass. I won't take time to turn over and read this, but in Deuteronomy chapter 7, the Lord was speaking through Moses, and he had given this prophecy that nobody's going to stand before you. Every single place that the sole of your foot touches, you are going to prosper. You're going to defeat all of the enemies. And then he turns around in Deuteronomy 7:17, and he says, but if you say in your heart, these people are mightier than I, how can I dispossess them? And you know what? If you only take that as saying that this is what we say, these nations are mightier than I, how can I dispossess them? Well, then there is no conclusion to that. There is no answer to it. Are you following what I'm saying? Here's what he was saying. If you say in your heart, these nations are mightier than I, then God is saying, how can I dispossess them if you get discouraged, if you begin to start speaking about how impossible the task is? Or in the context of this, if you get dismayed, then how can I fulfill my will through you? You have to stay strong and courageous to see God's will come to pass in your life. The Lord doesn't automatically do things for you. He flows through you. And if you get discouraged or dismayed, you stop the process. You know, a scripture that I use often is Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, where it says, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think." And I have been in hundreds of churches where I've quoted that verse. And I said, "How many of you believe that?" And people will just shout, "Amen, I believe it." And I say, "That's wrong." I've had pastors stand up before and lead the congregation in, "Yes." And they just stand up and shout, "Yes." And then I say, "That's wrong." That's not what the scripture says. It says in Ephesians 3:20, "Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." That means, the word "according to" means in proportion of or to the degree of the power that is working in us. If you become discouraged, you stop the flow of God. God flows through people. You know, this is so simple. I shouldn't even have to say these things, but I have to say it because there's so much confusion today about this. People think God just sovereignly works and that God, if he wanted to, could heal this person, could set this person free. And because we see problems in our world, people just assume that, well, it must be that God wants it to be that way. And they wonder, why did God allow this? God flows through us. And if we are discouraged, we stop the flow of God's power. Not everything that is happening is God's power, God's will. For instance, it makes it very clear in 2 Peter chapter 3, I believe it's verse 9, it says, "God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You can't make it any clearer than that. It is not God's will for a single person to perish, and yet Jesus said that the majority would perish. There are more that go by the broad gate unto destruction than there are by the narrow gate unto everlasting life. God's will does not automatically come to pass. It's because he has to flow through people, and there are so few people that are letting God flow through them. And one of the things that is stopping God from flowing and releasing his power and causing more of the goodness of God in this world is because Christians are discouraged, either personally because of things in their life or because of just the things that they see in this world. And if you get discouraged, you stop the flow of God. So this is why the Lord was telling Joshua, he says, "Be strong and of a good courage." He told him he had to be strong and of a good courage or it would stop the will of God that he wanted to accomplish through Joshua's life from coming to pass. "Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people thou shalt divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto your fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, when you've meditated in it day and night, then you will make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." Man, these are strong scriptures, but again, I'm just trying to emphasize how the Lord is telling Joshua, you got to be strong and of a good courage. And notice, he told him to do two things. He says, be strong and of a good courage, and he told him not to do two things. He says, don't be afraid, neither be dismayed. These are opposing forces. If you are afraid and dismayed, then you are not strong and of a good courage. They counteract each other. So you've got to do two things and resist two things. And the word dismayed, you know, if you were to look this up in the NIV, it's talking about being discouraged. The word discouraged is just a compound word that means the loss of courage. If you aren't confident in the Lord, if you aren't excited about the things of God, then you're dismayed or discouraged. And you have to keep yourself encouraged. You know, I'm going to go into these things in more detail as we go through this whole series, but let me just mention quickly that David faced a Terrible, terrible situation in 1 Samuel chapter 30. His own men spoke of killing him and stoning him to death. He had had his wives and children taken, and all of the men had had their wives and children taken. Their homes were burnt, and it was a terrible situation. And after about 13 years of David being anointed to be king, and he never saw it come to pass. Instead, his father-in-law had taken his wife from him and given her to another man. His father-in-law, Saul, was trying to kill him, and he had run for his life, and he had been persecuted every day, and this was like the last straw. They came back and everything had been burnt. All of their wives and children were taken. It was a terrible situation, and his men were so discouraged that they were going to stone him to death. And yet it says in 1 Samuel chapter 30, I believe it's around verse 6, but David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And did you know it was only a matter of hours until what God had promised him came to pass and he became king. He was right on the verge of victory, and yet it looked terrible. It looked like the bleakest time of his entire life, and if David hadn't have encouraged himself. You know, this is a man that for 13 years had stood strong, and he hadn't wavered, and he had been faithful to what God had told him to do. A lot of people would have thought, well, what does God expect? And with our logic today, we'd say he's in denial. He is not letting out his feelings. He needs to vent. He needs to quit holding it in. He just needs to sit down and cry for a while and get it over. That's the way that a lot of people feel, that you just are supposed to indulge your emotions. David was in a situation where I guarantee you everything in the natural said be discouraged and be afraid. Just quit and give up. You've been strong long enough. Just for one time, break down and cry. But it says David encouraged himself in the Lord. And you know how he did it? He took the word and he began to encourage himself. And it was just a matter of hours until the promises that God had given him all started coming to pass. If he would have given in at that last minute, he would have lost. And I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, I see a lot of people today who they stand briefly for a period of time, but they only stand so long. It's like there are limits on how long they're going to believe God. You've got to just be strong and of a good courage. And somebody says, well, how long am I supposed to stand? Until it works. Amen. Until you're encouraged. You just don't ever give up. If you say, well, here's the line, I'm only going to go this far, I can guarantee you Satan is sharp enough to figure out where your breaking point is, and he will push you to that point. But when you just say, it doesn't matter, I'm not quitting ever, I'm never going to give up, I'm never going to change. And you just draw a line in the sand and say, I'll never cross it. This is it. And you know what? When you do that, it makes a huge difference in the results that you get. And this is what he was telling Joshua to do, was to be strong and of a good courage.
Join us again tomorrow as Andrew continues his teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World. Andrew's complete teaching titled, How to Stay Positive in a Negative World, was recorded live at a recent Gospel Truth seminar. It's available on either CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. Or if you prefer, you can get the DVD as seen on TV for a gift of any amount. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The first audio teaching in How to Stay Positive in a Negative World is available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will send this first CD free of charge when you write or call. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. The generous gifts of our friends and partners help Andrew bring the almost too good to be true news of the gospel into countless homes every day. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today.
The truths that I'm sharing here on television are actually teachings that I've taken from our Gospel Truth seminars. And you know, they are just a powerful way to come and sit, and in 3 days' time, you get five services, you get just saturated in this. So I'd like to encourage you to come and join us. We have a tremendous time where I minister, of course, the Word of God. We pray for people, see a lot of miracles happen. We have tremendous praise and worship by Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, as well as my wife. You come and you can get all of our materials there. It's just a great, great time, and I know that you'd be blessed. And we're going to have one close to you, so come join us across the country at one of our Gospel Truth seminars.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp this week, May 28th through the 31st, in Woodland Park, Colorado, June 26th for the Pikes Peak Christian Artist Festival, and in Colorado Springs for the Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd. He'll also be in Minneapolis, Minnesota for a Gospel Truth Seminar July 15th through the 17th, in Durant, Oklahoma, July 28th through the 30th, and in Boston, Massachusetts for a Gospel Truth Seminar August 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Andrew, Jamie, and the team traveled by air and train to Karlsruhe, Germany. Here, a Gospel Truth seminar was held in Christus Cathedral, one of the premier Pentecostal congregations in Germany.
Wie ist es möglich, dass ein Mensch so viele Zweifel über
God called them to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go out, and he would show them the nation.
Gott hat sie berufen, Ur in Chaldea zu verlassen und in ein neues Land zu ziehen.
It's not just a one-hour service over 3 days, but he's leaving behind five or six of his major teachings in book format, leaving behind five or six of his major teachings in DVD or CD format in their language. That's what the key is.
During the German conference, Will Graham met with supervisors of Andrew's book translation teams to plan and coordinate projects for the coming year. This group has already seen an astounding 127 of Andrew's books translated into 36 languages worldwide. Will reports that already Christians in China have placed orders for 200,000 copies of Andrew's books. Books that contain the teaching from God's Word that will affect the lives of millions and perhaps billions of people worldwide.
There are 27 nations in the European Union, and we are translating into 19 of those languages.